Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Missus.
Well,
hey, everybody.
It's the inaugural show with Miss Liberal Deirdre Scaramucci. And I'm sitting here.
I'm not
as,
Miss Liberal.
You know, what's
Miss
weird is I'm not even
Normal.
That conservative. You're Miss Normal?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, so let's start with Miss Normal's opinion.
Self-proclaimed Miss Normal.
Let's start with Miss Normal's opinion of the Brett Kavanaugh situation.
Well, listen. Let's talk to everybody first about what you've been doing since you got canned from the White House, because everybody wants to know. I mean, everyone sees you on
okay.
The
well,
the first thing I want to say. But what are you doing?
I just want to explain how my wife has conditioned my four-year-old. Okay, so every time I say a bad word, which is obviously
every five to seven words,
my four-year-old yells out, bad word, bad word. And then I turn to my four-year-old Nicholas and I say, Nicky, how did Daddy get fired from the White House? And he says, for using bad words. So you did a good job there.
Thank you.
See that? And so he won't say any bad words as a result of my firing.
Right.
Okay, so what have I been doing?
So I've done one thing right now.
What's your rendition of what
so
I've been
far?
Doing?
You've been getting your act together, like really big time, and I feel like you're better than you were before. So what have you been doing? You're back at Skybridge.
Okay.
Growing the company.
Yeah.
I feel like it's actually been kind of, what do you say? It's a wonderful life kind of situation where you realized after the fact what you had lost, you know? And so it's even better when you get it back.
100%. So it's literally like Jimmy Stewart's in the car, It's a Wonderful Life, towards the end of the movie. He crashes the car on the bridge. He comes out of the car with a bruise on his head. There's Clarence in the water. He's got to jump in the water and save him. And then he goes through about 11 minutes. And notice I used the word 11, not 10 minutes. He goes through 11 minutes of dystopia.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes, where's my life in an alternative universe? But now I'm back here talking to you.
Yes.
And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's just face it. I'm going to teach you guys a word. It's called big-footed. And I'm about to get big-footed by Deirdre Scaramucci. She's out there cooking on the internet. She's out there taking pictures of herself on Instagram,
no,
hair
I'm
and
not.
Makeup.
I'm so not like
she's,
that.
She's developing a Mascaramucci. That's a new product coming.
Mm-hmm.
What else is she doing? Yeah, she's going to be Bigfooting me. Fox and Friends called. They want Anthony in the A block. Wait, Deirdre's available. Bigfooted by Deirdre Scaramucci.
What can I say?
It's unbelievable.
I'm very
it's brutal.
Charming.
It's brutal.
Okay, so you're back.
But here's what I'd say. I got my wife back. How's that? Forget about my life. I got my wife back. Okay, so I'm very happy that we're together and you mean the world to me. And the truth of the matter is that was
too
a
bad
disastrous
we sound effects.
That was a disastrous situation.
It really was.
Curving away from where I wanted to be in the universe. So I'm glad that we're together.
No, we came back. We're good. We're better than ever.
And my hair and makeup is a lot better as a result of our relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
How does it look today?
Amazing. Too bad it's only radio.
Is my hair and makeup well done for radio? That's what I want to know.
The only guy on earth that would get his hair blown out for a radio show.
Oh, my God. Torture.
So funny.
Da-dum-bum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's switch topics here, though, okay? You're
well,
doing...
let me introduce myself to everybody.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's always doing that.
Oh, my God.
I carried his coffee into this room.
Oh, my God.
And the best part is, as we were driving here, I'm, like, you know, very studious, reading everything, going through today's news, and he's next to me in the car snoring.
Okay.
He wakes up as we pull up to the building, and I'm like, hey, do you know what we need to know?
And she says to me, there are 15 topics.
No, I'll just find out when we get up there.
Get out of here. I know the topics. Okay. I read the paper every single day. I know what's going on.
All right.
I have an idea of what the zeitgeist is in the United States.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you, matter-of-factly, my opinions.
All right. Well, I'm just impressed by your smarts. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
I have to study. He doesn't. So, anyway, how do you want to kick this off?
You tell me. Let's talk about Brett Kavanaugh.
Okay.
Brett Kavanaugh is a contemporary of mine. He went to Yale Law School. He has an impeccable record on the judiciary. And he's obviously been a judicial scholar. He's somebody that was very well thought of until he gets into the crosshairs of the Supreme Court. And we are in Nastyville in the United States as it comes to our politics. It's disgusting. But why don't we run what President Trump said today in the East Room at the White House during a joint press conference with the Polish president.
Senator Feinstein sat with Judge Kavanaugh for a long period of time, a long, long meeting. She had this letter. Why didn't she bring it up? Why didn't she bring it up then? Why didn't the Democrats bring it up then? Because they obstruct and because they resist. That's the name of their campaign against me. They just resist and they just obstruct. And frankly, I think they're lousy on policy, and in many ways they're lousy politicians, but they're very good on obstruction. And it's a shame, because this is a great gentleman. With all of that, I feel that the Republicans, and I can speak for myself, we should go through a process, because there shouldn't even be a little doubt. There shouldn't be a doubt. Again, they knew what they were doing. They should have done this a long time ago, 3 months ago, not now. But they did it now. So I don't want to play into their hands.
All right.
Hopefully.
We get the drift.
All right, we get the drift.
No, but you know what?
You're not catching on the podcast.
On
Deirdre just putting her pen up in the air, waving her pen. Go ahead.
No, I'm waving it like he's not right about that.
He's not right.
He was. Okay, so she.
What did he say that was wrong about that? So Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein.
She was respecting the wishes of the person who came forward and wanted to remain anonymous. That's what she was doing.
Okay, but what about saying, so Justice Kavanaugh, we're sitting here in my beautiful, spacious, expensive senatorial office. Anything in your background I need to know about?
And you think he's going to bring that up?
Well, I think it would be interesting. Is there anything nefarious? Were you groping,
I don't think he would
groping,
bring that up.
Were you groping women in high school?
Honestly, who knows? I highly doubt. I would be willing to bet that he would never remember that or bring it up. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think it's... So I just disagree with him. I don't think they were using it to obstruct. Maybe they are, but I feel like they were more going with, you know, trying to respect this woman's wishes. She didn't want to be taken down and, you know, vilified by everybody for coming forward.
Well, let me just say this. If I were a Democrat, I would be in a situation thinking, be careful what you wish for. Because if you had knocked Kavanaugh out of the box, he is the devil that you now know, and you have a pretty good sense for where he's going on social issues, and he's not, frankly, going there. And so,
yeah, but
you
always say that. So we've had this conversation before. So is it true that President Trump said he would only elect a Supreme Court justice that would overturn Roe versus Wade?
Well, okay. So his campaign stances have been very pro-life campaign stances. The judges.
Yeah, but did
that
he say that specifically?
Well, I think he more or less indicated that during his debates. I think he has said that in some ways throughout his campaign speeches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's really said much of that, frankly, during the 19, 20 months of his presidency. But I think what's mission critical for the United States, and I really do believe this, is that Roe versus Wade is settled law in the United States. It's 45, 40
yeah,
now, so 45, 46 years old. The polling on this, hon, is unbelievable.
Hon. Let's call me 70, hon on the punk.
I was going to call you Deirdre. She gets mad at me when I call her Deirdre. If I got to call her honey or sweetie. If I call her Deirdre, she's like,
well, let's not make people barf on the podcast.
Are you mad at me?
Honey,
all right, so
sweetie.
I'll call you. How about Mrs. Scaramucci? Are we call you that?
No.
No, but here's call the me. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the point I'm making. 73% of the United States now with the settled law of pro-choice. It has polled for 40 years, 55-45. In the last 5 years, it has accelerated to 73-27. So the likelihood of the court reversing that, I think, would be tantamount to revolution.
Okay,
so
well
I don't see that happening.
It's just ridiculous then that it's even put out there and like dangled out there that it might be reversed if it's not going to be. It's just silly.
But let me ask you something.
And just makes people run around with their hair on fire. I don't know.
Inquiring minds want to know from you, is it fair to Judge Kavanaugh?
So I'm really
36 years later,
I'm
is
very
it fair?
Split on this because I know I've done some really bonehead things back in the day that I would never want to talk about in front of the entire world or the entire country. And, you know, youth is like something that is totally wasted on the young. We make dumb decisions. We do things we shouldn't be doing. And I don't think that necessarily reflects on who you are as an adult. So I have kind of, you know, a mixed opinion on it.
When his friend
would
today,
you like to like would you so, really like your entire
me, no.
I mean that's like
no look I had it for 11 days they were coming at me every which way you could think
right,
of
and me
were,
too
they
because
were
I
also
was
making stuff
with you.
Up which was sort of totally unfair but that's what happens now the politics of viciousness but his best friend from high school
right.
who apparently was in the room where it happened
right
is not testifying
right he said no
yes he said no so
well he wasn't asked that, he said he wasn't asked.
Okay, so, but I think he's also indicated if he were asked, he wouldn't want to go and testify. And so is that an indication of guilt?
Yeah, I think so. He probably remembers some things.
Okay,
you know?
So.
Even if it's not 100% exactly the way she said it went down, something probably happened.
So for the sake of this argument, if something did go down with the facts that roughly congruent to what she said about him. Is he disqualified now from the Supreme Court, or does he get a pass because of a youthful indiscretion?
Well, if you're going to get a lifetime appointment to something, you kind of have to be like a stellar human, you know? So that is why people are judging him so harshly, or judging, you know? But look at the president. He's like, he's been accused by how many women of doing these things? He's the president of the United States. Okay, it's a limited term thing. He's not a president forever and ever. But, I mean, he's still the president for 4 to 8 years, and look what's gone on in his past.
There's a $17 million slush fund that was put together for the Congress to pay off people who have, quote-unquote, accused congressmen, and mostly men, I would assume, of sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. The figures specifically and the attachment to the specific people in the Congress has never been exposed. Do you think it's time for that exposure and to see who's doing what inside the Congress?
Well, I mean, if we're going to be accusatory, we should probably do it like we should just like bring all of the dirty laundry and just like put it out on the floor in front of us. If we're going to be so judgmental, it should just be a bipartisan thing. Everybody should be, you know, called to the floor.
Okay, so my question then is, should we be this judgmental or
no, I think
do we
we've
recognize
amped it up in life.
Vagaries.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's social media. I don't know if it's politics in general, how they've just become so partisan. But something in our country, and I think, I don't even think it's just the country, I think it's the world, has amped up the judgments, what's the word? I don't even know. It's just that everyone is so quick to have an opinion about every other human being. And it's more like, why don't you just worry about what you're doing and try to be a halfway decent person and the world will be a better place to live. I find it to be really, really a tough place to live.
Do you think the allegations have ruined this man's reputation forever, even if he gets on the court?
No.
It hasn't. Okay.
People forget about that's the beauty and the downfall, there's two sides to this, like, 24-hour news cycle and social media, is there's a new thing every 5 seconds. It'll be somebody else. Do you wake up and think about Harvey Weinstein? Because I don't. Like, how many months ago that was
Harvey
the only...
Harvey Weinstein's ruined. I mean, in addition to being the white Shrek, he's like a walking train wreck of a human being.
No, I'm just saying that...
Right? I mean, he's totally ruined the guy.
Right? I don't know. This is one off. You know, it's a one-off thing with him, and I think... Either which way, in a few, I don't know, in a year or two, no one's going to be thinking about him as some sort of like deviant.
Let me ask you something controversial, okay? Is the Me Too...
All right, let's be controversial.
Is the Me Too movement, has that gone too far? You bring up Harvey Weinstein,
so hard
Judge
as a
Kavanaugh.
Woman to... I sit and I think about it all the time because it's in the news.
How many times in your life have you been hit on?
Oh, a million. That's why... Right. But... I don't know if it's because I have two brothers and I was very close with my dad, but I have sort of a rougher way about me as it relates to that. Like I don't laugh it off, but I'm just like, okay. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I just kind of ignored it and rolled with it.
Deflecting it. So you're like human Teflon.
I just like keep it moving. You know what I mean?
They're coming at you. You're giving them the Heisman. Ha ha. He,
yeah,
he.
But there's a difference.
Some women
between
are like, hey,
some...
this guy came at me. He's got to get blown out.
But there's a difference between somebody saying, like, passing a remark and then someone trying to take off your bathing suit. You know what I mean? Those are two different things. Mm-hmm. So I can't say about that because that's never happened to me. And I have a lot of empathy. And a lot of, you know, compassion for people that have gone through, that's very traumatic. That's different. But I'm saying in a workplace, on Wall Street, there's always been banter. But it's just been something I've ignored, you know. Again, super different from being
what do you think the line gets drawn? And how do you feel about these people that are getting blown out without any due process?
Well, I think there needs to be due process. I really do. I don't think people should just be thrown under a bus and like their lives are ruined and their reputations are, you know, extinguished in the gutter. I don't think that's fair to them or their families. I think there needs to be some sort of process. And it's something we need to think about because this is happening now like every day with somebody new.
So in our society right now, we're working on prison reform. And we're trying to help people come back into the society, get real jobs, sort of end prison recidivism.
Right.
We're finding that so many people, they come out, they're convicted felons, they can't find a job, they end up going back into crime, they rotate back into prison. But here we are now in the Me Too movement. It seems like these are professional capital crimes that come with lifetime sentences mm-hmm. where they can now no longer work. They're completely and totally humiliated. What's your reaction to that? Should there be any level of reform? And I'm going to mention some names. They're probably all going to be mad at me for mentioning them. But somebody like a Matt Lauer, is he allowed to be reformed? Somebody like a Charlie Rose, is he allowed to be reformed?
I don't know because this is why I'm so conflicted. This is why I need like a therapist.
Because, I'm your therapist, baby.
Okay.
I'm your therapist.
Well, then you need to tell me how to feel about this because... They shouldn't, if they didn't get busted, they would probably still keep doing it. So to me, it's like, I don't know, reform. I mean, I feel like they're only admitting to it because they got caught, that kind of thing. It's like a kid who says, oh, I'm so sorry, mommy, I didn't mean to do that. But he's only saying that because he got caught and he's mad that you took his dessert away.
Okay,
you know
so
what
we're,
I'm saying?
We're not there yet.
I want to talk about something funnier.
Let's keep it moving.
Let's talk about... the possibility of Trump sending the country's largest group text about emergencies. What do you think about that?
In terms of natural disasters?
If there was like a tsunami or something, I guess Trump would be the first to tell us.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
There's a lot of different things they're doing, right? They've experimented with Amber Alert. They've experimented with the... That bonk sound that comes on your phone.
Well, you're used to getting texts from Trump, right?
Well,
wink, wink.
I've gotten my share of texts from mm-hmm. Trump, and some of them have been in all caps. So then you have to call immediately, and you know, you listen to a whole ventilation.
Oh, not only your name in all caps, like Eric Holder, like how he does that.
Yeah, Yeah. How about the misspellings, though? I think, you know, a lot of those misspellings
are on purpose to piss
totally,
people off.
Yeah, totally. I just want to make sure everybody knows that.
He wants to, like, make you think that he doesn't care enough to know how to spell your goddamn name. That's what he wants.
If you're liberal and you're an effete academic and he's spelling COFEFE, he just wants you. He just wants you in orbit. Okay, I just want you to know that. Okay,
when what do you think he was doing when he hit
spells
the
like administration buttons. And it's S-H-E-N? He just wants you in orbit. I just want to make sure everybody knows that.
What do you think he was doing? Do you think he was like walking through the Mickey D's when he hit the COFEFE button?
No,
it was like
no. I think what happened was he was like very animated. He's watching TV. The fingers are hitting the Samsung.
No, he definitely didn't
iPhone.
Know he was. He definitely didn't know he was doing.
He woke
that.
Up the next morning. It was supposed to be coverage. He woke up the next morning. He saw COFEFE.
He probably fell asleep mid text.
Yeah. No. And he woke up the next morning. He said, "COFEFE, you go figure it out."
No, he fell asleep while he was tweeting.
But that's can you imagine? There's an international tragedy. And the president is misspelling, take COFEFE, take COFEFE.
Instead of cover.
And you're running for a COFEFE shelter. I mean, could you imagine?
No. You know what? It would be like a national emergency if I had to wake up and see his text.
President Obama, he signed this into law in 2016. So
well, signed it into law what? That you can text somebody?
Well, no, that there should be some kind of national text that goes out in an emergency.
Yeah, presidential
just about every
alert
adult
system.
has a cell phone.
However, thankfully we have not needed that, and I hope we never do.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Go to Joe Biden for a second. Vice President Biden.
I love him.
You and I have met him.
I think he's amazing.
Okay. What do you love about Vice President Biden? I was going to call him Uncle Joe, but I think that's like a little too colloquial for this podcast. So what do you like about?
I think he's just so relatable, and in person he's super duper nice and like a warm guy. Plus, he's had so much personal tragedy in his life mm-hmm. that like I feel like you can't have that much go on and
empathy.
Not have a lot humongous heart for other people because you've suffered so much.
A lot of empathy. So he is giving a speech at the Human Rights Campaign dinner. And so for full disclosure to everybody, Deirdre and I are supporters of the Human Rights Campaign.
Definitely.
And we were with Joe. And what is the Human Rights Campaign? It is to help bring out the marriage equality issue, not only here in the United States, but globally. And we were with Vice President Biden 3 years ago at the World Economic Forum discussing marriage equality rights around the world. And so the notion that the United States has been allowing statewide marriage equality, bringing that to the rest of the world. He's speaking at this event. He is a compassionate guy. He's an empathetic guy. But he says at the event, can we roll the tape? Do we have it? Let's hear it.
These forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. There are a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society.
Eek.
And instead of using the full might of the executive branch to secure justice, dignity, safety for all,
the president uses the White House as a literal bully pulpit. Mm-hmm. Callously.
What do you think of that?
Callously exerting his power over those who have little or none.
All right, well, I don't know. See, this is why politics, S-U-C-K. Because he's a good person. I know he has the right intentions. But now we're just doing this whole thing where they, and that's not good. Because
that's
when
the
you
playbook.
Just start
that's
with...
That's the baby boomer playbook. It's identity politics. It's splitting the electorate. It's us versus them. It's fractionalizing. What I hate about the establishment in Washington, the goal is to perpetuate power. It's not to get in the middle and blend out the policies. And so if I can sit on one side, I can probably get my guys to turn out if they're angry enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in 2016.
It just brings out the worst in people.
Okay, so...
It just does, you know?
He just called a portion of the society dregs of the society.
Mm-hmm.
Secretary Clinton 2 years ago, she used the word deplorable. She said that these people are deplorable that are voting for President Trump. Is that dehumanizing?
Okay, well, Trump has said a lot of
Oh, we can get
really
to him. We can get to him in a second. We know that he's a human bowling ball. Okay,
right.
We know he's rolling into like different pins left and right.
Yeah. So let's not even go there on name calling. But what did you ask me?
Another question is he's calling people the dregs of the society.
Yeah, that was probably not the right choice of words. But he does. I mean, in my opinion, he does have a point because on this topic, Donald Trump banks on the fact that he's going to say negative things and polarize the society, and his base is going to love that. And so now they're doing it on the other side. And so it's going to go back and forth like a game of ping pong, and we're just going to get worse and worse, and we're going to get more and more divided, and it's like we're getting nothing done.
But,
like, why don't we do something
but it's
instead
helping
of talking
the
about the stupid BS?
But it's helping the politician.
Okay, but it's not helping the country. It's not helping the
country. Well, no, but it's helping the politician.
Yeah, but the country's going down the can. We look like idiots to people in other countries. And I feel like our kids are going to grow up and be in some sort of, like, I don't even know what. It's going to be like a cafeteria
echo chamber of dishonesty, what they're going to be
yes,
in.
Yes, but it's also
but
just constant fighting and vitriol. It's like,
the political playbook today is to get the people in the middle, the moderates in the middle, to totally disaffect from the system, totally become indifferent. You know, our son, about to be 26 years old, AJ Scaramucci,
Don't we look good for having a son who's 26?
Well, I look good. we're not going to discuss my hair dye or Botox on the podcast, right?
Okay.
We're
going to
leave that out? Okay, let's leave that out. But here's my 26-year-old son, and what is he saying? I hate politics. I'm not going anywhere near politics. I turn the TV off when politics comes on,
mm-hmm.
and ding, 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 the politicians have won because they've taken a very smart kid.
Yeah, they turn everyone off to the point they have free
reign. He's sidelined himself,
and
that's exactly what they want.
They have free reign.
Yeah, they want the middle gone, and they want the two extremes working, and they know that they can perpetuate their power if they can keep the two extremes working and the middle gone.
All right, so I'm just going to throw this out there into the universe because I know other people must think it because I do every day. Why isn't there somebody somewhere who is balanced and they're normal and rational as it relates to like human rights things and civil rights, but then they're also for like a free market and you know, keeping the economy going. Why isn't there somebody like a nice little the Dairy Queen? What's the Dairy Queen? What's the milkshake at the Dairy Queen? Oh my God! You're supposed to know about every sort of sweet in the.
I don't know the I don't
know. No, the Frosties at Wendy's. You just dated yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, forget it. Anyway, the Blizzard.
The Blizzard.
We need to like whip up something like that.
McFlurry. Actually, that's how outdated I am. But go ahead.
We need something like that. You know, like a little bit of common sense, a little bit of heart, a little bit of like business. You know, savvy. Isn't there someone like that that exists? I mean, besides you? Because people will say that you're so conservative, but you're really not.
Well, obviously not. I mean, that's
socially, you are not conservative.
I couldn't be further to the
you're
left socially.
Economically,
in fact, if anything, I'm libertarian socially. I want people to be happy.
Like, everybody should just be happy.
Of course, I could care less what people do with their own lives, or women have the right to control their bodies.
Exactly.
I have no issue with any of that. But I also recognize that those social issues, to your point, the social issues are tied to what I think are wackadoodle economic policies. And so I think your question is,
why
can't we get common sense economic policies with rational social policy?
Right.
Why can't we get that?
Why can't we have like a heart and a bank book? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, well, that would be
best. So another thing that these guys have done, you can't create that party right now because these guys have a duopoly in what they've done.
No, you can. I bet you there are so many people on the sneak tip that think like that. But you know what? They're too smart to go into politics.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to go into politics.
Very naive, my friend, because you thought you could actually get something done.
Yeah.
But people who have a heart know that they'll just get trampled on, you know? It's fair game in Washington.
It was one of the highlights of my life, where I was interviewed by Playboy magazine.
Oh, yeah, I love that. That was really good after we got back together for me to find out he was going to be interviewed by
I only read Playboy magazine as a kid for the articles. I just wanted everyone in the American public to know that. But there I am being interviewed by Playboy magazine, and I'm like, obviously, you know, because I'm a small child, I love that. And the guy asked me the following question. He says to me, you know, people in Washington think you're smart, but they think you're very politically naive. And what's your reaction to that? I said, I completely disagree with that. I said they are completely wrong. I am politically naive to the 30th power.
Okay. All right. Obviously, okay? I didn't read that article.
Of course you didn't. I got hit with the Washington bus. They looked at me. They said, okay, find the guy's weakness. Get him in the wood chipper as fast as possible and get him shredded and get him out of here as quickly as possible, because God forbid he starts telling the truth from a position of power or from a podium here in Washington.
That'll be a nightmare for us.
We won't be able to perpetuate this cycle of stagnation. We won't be able to perpetuate this cycle of power that keeps our business unit going. Okay, let's keep going.
I want to talk about the Emmys. Before we close out, let's go to the Emmys.
Yeah,
we went to L.A. this past weekend. My dear Anthony, my friend over here, was actually nominated for his producer-ness for the movie Paterno that was on HBO. But he lost. Womp womp. Oh, I should never use womp womp.
Womp womp.
I can never use that again after what's his face.
Corey, did you hear that? I got to send that to Corey.
Did Corey go to a patent lawyer about that? Womp womp.
Womp womp. Okay, so I lost. But I lost gloriously. It was a very good movie. I recommend everybody to see
it. It was cool. But so we went to LA. We had a great time. And we ate a lot of food. And then we wondered why we don't live in California.
Yeah.
Because it's so beautiful.
Beautiful weather.
But then someone told us that it's really boring to live there after a while because the weather makes you boring.
So
I don't get that.
But go to the Emmys for a second. It seemed like it was a touch less political last night.
Yeah.
Didn't it seem a touch less political?
I think so. I don't know.
So I noticed that President Trump was a touch more normal this morning. I mean, he was talking about following the process, and he was talking about
let the Senate have his hearing.
I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I mean, you know, maybe someone mixed a Metamucil counterclockwise this morning. That's the only thing I can think of, right? He's probably feeling regular or something like that. I couldn't believe he was that normal. But now we know
Anthony's secrets.
Let's go to the Michael Che, only white people.
It's Che.
Che, okay.
You watch SNL every Saturday.
All right, Michael Che, only white people. I didn't hear that, but...
Right, well, she said she doesn't like watching white award shows because you guys don't thank Jesus enough.
That's true.
The only white people that thank Jesus are Republicans and ex-crackheads, so.
See, I think that stuff is funny. It's funny. That's the other thing in this civilization now. Everybody is so sensitive.
Okay, so
like, when people tell me, oh, hey, you look like Barbara Streisand on, you know, like on a really bad day, I laugh. Like, you have to laugh at this stuff.
Hold on. That was like blunt force trauma to the side of your head. When Oliver Stone said, hey, Barbara, you were like, what?
He calls me Barbara. No,
you was like blunt. You were in Dal Saviano's restaurant. I thought I had to get the cardiac clamps out when he called you Barbara Streisand.
No, listen,
let's tell the truth, okay?
Honestly, people are way too sensitive. Oh, God. People are way too sensitive. I meant to say copyright. I didn't mean to say a patent on that before. I think people are so sensitive. Like, just laugh. It's not a big deal. He probably didn't write the joke. Somebody else did.
You and I are in total agreement on this. I think that the comedians should have a bandwidth of extra licensing to be able to make fun of things.
That's what being funny is about. You know what I mean? You
can't
be saying regular things.
But look at what happened to Roseanne Barr, though.
No, but that wasn't funny. You know what I'm saying?
So
if you're making jokes,
so you get the Dr. Evil chair if you're racist and not funny. But if you say something racist and funny, it's no problem. I mean,
there's something wrong with me then. I don't view that as racist. You think that's racist?
Well, let's go back and let's read the literal text, okay?
Only white people
thank Jesus or Republicans and ex-crackers.
I don't find it racist. So there's obviously something wrong with me.
Let me ask you this. When I was in the White House, Seth Meyers said that I was a human pinky ring.
Right.
He said I was a doubly parked BMW.
We laughed. We cracked up.
I thought it was funny. But then somebody said to me, well, you know, if you were black and he called you a human piece of fried chicken, he would have been fired. But it's okay to say that about Italians. And I'm like, you know what? I thought the guy was funny. I actually don't care.
Okay, life hack. Ready?
Yes.
Life hack.
Go ahead.
You will have a much better life if you try not to care about what every single person
Amen.
Says about you.
Amen.
If you can laugh and you can keep it moving, you're good.
These comedians deserve a pass.
I think so, too. And the marriage proposal thing, all I could think about, the guy that won and proposed to his girlfriend, all I could think about was the guys in the back running the show, like, come on, like, wrap this up, hurry up, you know, hitting the music to, like,
Jen,
they wanted to get the cane.
I want to put this ring that my mom wore on your finger in front of all these people and in front of my mom and your parents watching from above.
It was sweet.
Will you marry me?
Very good.
I think it's a grandstander.
I think it's a memorable thing, and I give the guy two thumbs up.
No, it seemed pretty heartfelt, right? Good luck to them.
So I have a couple more questions before we let you leave this beautiful
radio.
Wait,
I have another question for you.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's...
Bigfooted Again by Deirdre Scaramucci.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll stop
interrupting. No, please. No, go ahead. You have the gun, please.
No, just an odd tidbit, but the state of Texas is pulling Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller from all of their, like, state school social studies curriculum. Do you find that weird, or, like, what do you think about that? Or it doesn't even matter. It's like a UFO.
I think it's terrible. I think any time that we're banning things, I think Twitter shadow banning conservatives or any voice that's out there, any time you don't have to read Fahrenheit 451 to understand the problem of censorship and trying to ban things.
Well,
and
that is real. As the wifey of a quote-unquote conservative, I've totally seen us been, like, given the Heisman by certain places that are more liberal because they don't want to hear your views. And that's, like, for colleges and universities, that's a
no-no. I got knocked out of my
alma
mater. I was forced to resign from the board of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy because of my Trump support.
But they don't even know your real views on anything.
Didn't matter
if they let you come, they would know.
Didn't matter to those 25-year-old kids.
Right.
It's fine. But my question to you.
Big mistake.
Okay, my question to you
It's like censorship, you know what I mean?
Is in a way. You read some of the highlights, and we bought the Bob Woodward book over the weekend in the airport.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it.
You got some of the highlights from the press, and you know a lot of the players that are involved because you were in the campaign with me.
Correct.
Reluctantly. Reluctantly. So is the book accurate? You think the book is accurate?
Well, like I said, so I think all the time the wheels in my head are always spinning. How could you write this book, be like a world-renowned journalist, and sit in front of everybody on a stage that, you know, a national stage, and say with deadpan, no blinking, right into the camera, that it's 100% accurate and the truth will come out in time? You cannot do that unless, A, you're a sociopath, or B, it's the truth, and I think it's B. I think he's had a pretty decent record of reporting in the past, right? I mean, there's been things here and there that people question about him, but you cannot write that book if you're Bob Woodward and stand by it, and it can be completely false.
So
maybe 90%.
Yeah, so that's my opinion. My opinion is that
accurate.
unfortunately, in situations like that, it's the old cliche that people remember things the way they need to remember them, not mm-hmm. necessarily the way they happened. I'm sure there are things that I'm colorizing in my head because they made so many colossal mistakes in the White House that I'm probably recolorizing.
Not just in the White House, baby.
Okay, wow.
In the real house.
Oh, my God. This is, like, unbelievable. But I do think it's 90 to 95% accurate. The definite, for my opinion, is that he did the homework. Unlike Michael Wolff's book, which I call Liar and Furious, Liar being Michael Wolff and Furious being Steve Bannon, they didn't do any homework on that book.
Do you
that
guys
book's probably
know
like
how many times I've heard this
accurate.
Stuff in my sleep? I probably repeat it in my sleep. Liar and Furious and
oh my God.
This is
new material that I'm delivering on
before
radio.
We came into
com,
the studio, he told all the people here the same jokes that I've been hearing for the past 10 years. And he was laughing like it was the first time he ever told them.
And it was delivered fresh, okay? It was delivered fresh, like fresh produce.
That's what you think.
Okay, one last question, then I'm going
to
let you go.
Hey, I want everyone to know that we are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the Misses every Tuesday.
Hey, tweet questions during the week at Mooch and the Misses, okay?
Yeah,
at
we love social
Mooch
media.
And the Misses. You can tweet at Deirdre Scaramucci or at Scaramucci.
Can't wait to see all many questions. The crazy comments.
But I have one last question for you before
okay.
we leave.
What's that?
You still love me?
I do.
Okay,
do you still
God.
Love me?
Very much.
Okay, I don't know if you have, I mean, let's
very
not even
much
go
my
there.
Liberal, hot wife. Love
oh,
you.
Thanks.
Very good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.